Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast, where every week Danny and Maura Vega discuss topics that help families live a healthy and active lifestyle with their little ones, including nutrition and training, peaceful parenting, education, and mindset. To stay up to date, make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast and check out the blog at www.fatfuel.family. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram at dannyvega.ms, at fatfueledmom, and at fatfueledkids, and Fat Fuel Family on YouTube. Enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, sorry for the interruption, but I have an exciting announcement I wanted to share with you. You all know how fond I am of the carnivore diet. I started it in August of 2017, and for the most part, in the past 3 years, I've stuck to it. I've teamed up with my great friend, Adam Scheible, host of the Million Pound Mission podcast, to create a course for any of you who are curious about the carnivore diet. It's called Couch to Carnivore, and this course covers the range of diets from low carb to carnivore. You don't have to be following a ketogenic diet or even a low carb diet to start. We take you through 7 phases from the standard American diet all the way to strict carnivore. Once you finish this course, you'll be armed with all the right information to decide which variation works best for you. In addition, we offer follow-along videos, recipe ideas, and all the great community building and support that Adam is known for. You can check that out at couchtocarnivore.com. That's couchtocarnivore.com. Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Vega, and I'm joined by my woke warrior mom.
Oh my gosh, I was like, what adjective am I getting today?
Yeah, she always gets a different adjective.
I guess I'll take woke.
I had to say woke today.
I know, but that word, it's like, you know, because all these other people think they're woke.
I know,
and I'm
know.
Like, it's getting, is starting to get to me now.
Like, yeah, it's getting to that point. Yeah.
If that's what woke is, I guess I'm not.
I'm going to go back to sleep then. but how are you, my love?
I'm good.
I'm super excited.
I got
excited.
An early workout, which was good.
We started a new schedule because, you know, like she was complaining about how she's got to do the kids routine in the morning. And
I'm
I need help. I agree. And so I took over for Tuesdays and Thursdays because like there's no childcare. So like now we got to switch off.
That's right.
And I feel terrible, you know, because like my kids, you know, I'm not usually in the house. We homeschool, but they're usually not in the house. So it's just like, you know, I'm in here and they're going to keep bothering me and I don't want to tell them to stop bothering me. So I entertain them.
I know.
So she did the morning routine or I did the morning routine. You worked out, then I worked out.
Yeah.
So it all works out well. But I am super excited today. That's why I chose woke because this episode, I've been really looking forward to it. But before we start this, we got to give a disclaimer.
Yes.
We have children. Big disclaimer because we know that this is a family show. Parents, we got to be very clear. This is not an episode you can listen to or watch in front of your children. We're going to get into some really heavy stuff. It will get graphic and it'll probably get uncomfortable. But just like we've said a million times, sometimes we have to abandon comfortable lies to uncover uncomfortable truths.
Right.
So, you know, Maura and I always joke about the fact that those in the government who pushed for this unprecedented house arrest and lockdown, they really had no idea how many people we're going to wake up, you know, because like...
Can't leave us bored with our computers.
Yeah, like what do you think is going to happen if you're locking people up at home with the internet?
With no job.
You're going to have a lot of red pilling. There's going to be a lot of millions of people. So, and this week's guest has been a part of this whole thing for us. She's a YouTuber who caught our eye a few months back when we were first put on house arrest. Maura and I had watched... Hey, every chance I get, I say house arrest and costumes.
The costume requirement and
the house arrest.
Yeah, I can.
And it's funny because I'll weave it into like a post and people will just be reading and all of a sudden they'll see costume and they'll be like wait, where did that come from? Anyways, we watched The Fall of the Cabal.
We
watched Out of Shadows, the Pizzagate stuff, all of it. And, you know, our guest today has actually a really cool... kind of catch you up type of stuff on her website because I hadn't seen the Pizzagate documentary that she had mentioned.
Okay.
And that one was really good. But yeah, she went deeper. She went way deeper. She turned us on to everything from pedophilia on Instagram, Adult Swim, the NXIVM stuff we saw a little bit on Fall of the Cabal, but she went even deeper. She has a 2-part video on that. Torture chambers, Bryan Singer's alleged sex ring, and every other celebrity who's been exposed.
Right.
UNESCO's attempt at grooming children with their global sexual education program, symbolism, spirit cooking. Honestly, there's like the art, so much.
Art. Art.
But I will say what we love about her is that she's objective, as objective as someone could be when, you know, kind of reporting on this stuff. And 2, she's a truth seeker, but she's also a Christ follower.
And, you know, as fellow Christ followers, we appreciate like a biblical take on this stuff. Right. So we're going to get into all of it. Again, make sure that there's no children around or within earshot. Okay, got that out of the way. Mm-hmm. We're super excited to talk to her. Please welcome to the show, Natalie Denise. What's up, Natalie?
Hey, guys. You guys made me feel so cool. I was like, wow. Retrospectively, I guess, yeah, that all that stuff, I guess that is on my channel. I was like, well, wow.
Why do you think you've blown up?
That is me.
You're this blowing up for a good reason.
You know what? It's crazy. Honestly, like, I didn't think that this would do what it did, honestly.
When they've shadow banned you on Instagram, you've made it. Because you know you can't find your profile. And yeah, I'm like, every time I share backup. It, I'm like, just go to the backup and go to the actual, just follow both. I'm like,
exactly. Yeah.
I guess you've made it.
Yeah, I guess so. Yep. there has been, and then seeing like hundreds of DMs, I'm like, I didn't even know what that felt like. I didn't even know what that looked like. So, I mean, it's just very surreal that, I don't know, that I'm getting that type of attention, but it's the subject matters definitely need the attention.
It does.
And I just love the way you report on it as well, like how you talk about, for example, the Wayfair gate. It's like, okay, let's accept that this is at least very, very weird, you know?
We can't
take it as gospel. Like, it could be. I have a friend in Special Forces who's like, because of the stuff that's been happening, like, I don't know if you heard, in Germany, for example, they just got a big sting on a torture chamber. Yes. They were recording stuff, and he's like thinking that maybe the Wayfair gate could be kind of something that they're doing to misdirect people to, so they can do what they need to do in the background. I mean, that's always a possibility.
Could be too. I mean, it's definitely still questionable. You know, and I even kind of question the original poster too. Like, how did you compare these two? Like, how did you go? Like, how did you see that name and then go to the and exploited? I mean, child exploitation and sex trafficking is becoming more and more of an awareness, you know, mainstream. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely questionable. And even to the point that there are still postings, I don't know. There's just so much static, you know, we don't know what to believe. Got to constantly pray for that discernment. But it could be. It could be a distraction. We just don't know. It's definitely something fishy, though. Something's being covered up for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's get right to it, because we've got a lot of stuff that we want to cover. So we always lead off with the question, what is the most critical problem you're currently trying to solve?
Jeez.
Loaded question right now in this moment in time.
Cheese and crackers. The most critical problem that I'm trying to solve right now, it's probably the way that society or the elites turn their noses at pedophilia and, you know, the content that is on the internet. You know, it's just crazy to me that this isn't the most forefront issue that we're trying to combat, as much power as they have. I think that's probably it. And that's a very loaded answer too. You know, we could break that down, but the way that we are so easily dismissive, or how we have always been easily dismissive of over pedophilia or pedo themed things, is a big problem in our society. So, I think that also trickles downstream to the social platforms and then society. So, it's very loaded, and there's a lot of work to do with that, but that's a big, big, big fat problem that I think needs a lot of solving.
And the fact that they do turn their noses only makes the suspicions worse, because
absolutely.
I mean, I can't tell you, like, we were like laughing at that, you know, Alyssa Milano, like wearing a crochet mask, and all of these celebrities, they were very, very quick to say, wear your mask, all this stuff. And okay, even if there is a virus out there killing people, it still has yet to kill as many children as that go missing every single year. So where's the outrage? It's uneven.
Yeah,
so
it's incongruent.
It's incongruent. So it's like, okay, guys, fine, the masks, but what about this? Like,
that's a unifying thing. I saw you posted, or it might have been you that shared one of those tweets. It's like, can we just agree that
this is wrong?
When this comes out, like, that we'll unify behind this. Can we protest about this?
For real.
Right.
This is big.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was actually behind the Libyan slaves, because there's that type of, I mean, trafficking in general is such a big, broad umbrella term, because trafficking covers really everything: child trafficking, adult trafficking, forced labor, organ harvesting. And that is, you know, that's also something that I need to start talking a little bit more about. But organ harvesting, in a way, is also human trafficking, you know, trafficking and farming humans for their organs. But back to it, in Libya, right now, present day in 2020, you can go purchase an African slave for as low as $200. And, you know, not one person, I mean, not one celebrity is out there talking about it. Why not? Like, why are we not talking about literal human rights, human enslavement that is happening the same exact way that it happened in, you know, what, the 1800s? The way they brought slaves over to the U.S. is the same exact way they're doing it in Libya. Why are we not talking about it, you know? And why are celebrities not talking about it either? So I think that should... You would think that would be something that would open people's eyes and would be something that we could unify on.
Yeah.
But literally, people, when I post things on Libya and the enslavement in Libya, people are like, "But America," and I'm like,
"What?
What are you like? What? Like how do you look at literal pictures of torture and chains and people in lines in the heat being brutalized with guns and all these things, and then say, "But America," when we're roaming free on the streets and you can freely go out and protest despite there being a pandemic, and you want to say, "But America." Yeah. So, I mean, it is Looney Tune Town right now. It is Gotham City. And I don't, you know,
I know.
So anyway, that's, that's one, I feel like that's one unifying problem. And you know what? I might be going on a little tangent here. From what I see on my personal experience with my growth, I do actually see that despite there being the problems in the world, I do actually see people from the left and the right actually, like, you know, coming into my account, and they're like, "Oh, you know, they're actually unifying on an issue."
Right.
Of course, when it comes to more conservative topics that, you know, I have beliefs in, that's where becomes a little bit of a problem for them. But I can at least say that I do see some form of unification on, you know, trafficking, child trafficking, all that stuff. So,
yeah, it's so ironic too that you talk about the modern day slavery that we have when we have this massive movement going on right now with, you know, Black Lives Matters. And it's like, okay, guys, but the truth is that no one here has owned a slave. Mm-hmm. It is terrible that has happened, but what about the fact that it's still happening? Like, we're not talking about that. We're not protesting the right things. Like, so it's hard. It is Looney Tunes. I call it the Twilight Zone. Like,
it is. Yeah.
Well, let's start quick background, because I'm curious myself, but can you tell our listeners a little bit, just a little bit about yourself? We know that you're a comics fan. I'm a big comics fan. and then how did you originally have your eyes open to all this child trafficking?
Get into this.
And sure. You know, and what do you do now? Obviously, we know what you do now to spread awareness, but like, how did that whole
for
story,
our listeners.
The origin story?
Sure. So that's loaded. Yeah. I mean, I'll start off with, you know, originally, my YouTube was more focused on entertainment, and, you know, this was the big comics era. And so, you know, I started off with reaction videos and all these things. So I started getting comfortable with the camera then. But whilst that time, I have been in and out of trafficking outreach ministry for the past 5 to 6 years. And I don't think I've even talked about that on my main channel.
You mentioned it, I think, once. I heard you mention it. Mm-hmm. It's been like 4 or 5 years. I was like, oh, man, she's been
around. Yeah. Yep. And so what I would do, so I'm from Houston. Elijah Rising is the a big organization in Houston, and they do, you know, trafficking tours where they'll go to the most affected areas of Houston, and you can go in a van and they'll show you, like, this is a brothel, blah, blah, blah. This is who owns it. Very educational. But the way that I came to know trafficking at the very, very origins, I was a makeup, I still am a makeup artist, I guess I could say, but I was more, that was my bread and butter back then. And one of my friends, she asked me to do a photo shoot, to help her with a photo shoot. And it was for the End It campaign, or it was, you know, surrounding the End It campaign. And so they were doing a stage photo shoot where they would you know, stage trafficking victims or whatever and take photos of them. So she needed like VFX, so like special effects. And so that, that actually ironically originated from, or it was shared with the Lakewood Church in Houston. So they were doing a big campaign. It was like trafficking, anti-trafficking week. So anyway, I did the photo shoot, and that was the first time I was like, well, what's trafficking? This was like 6 years ago. I was like, what's trafficking? And my friend basically explained it to me, like, this is what's happening and blah, blah, blah. You know, they sell girls and, you know, they pimp girls out. And around that time, the End It, I think it was the End It campaign, they actually deployed out a commercial. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was a Super Bowl commercial where they have girls in an 18-wheeler and it had like a clear plexiglass and it had like, they staged like a trafficking scene. And so that video really set me off. I was like, dude, I can't believe that this is actually happening. And not only happening, but my city, Houston, is one of the worst cities in the world that this is actually happening to. So from there, started to do whatever research I could on my own. Took a one of those trafficking tours from Elijah Rising. And that even opened up my eyes even more to see brothels and to see, you know, I don't care where you're at in America, in at every single corner, you see a massage place, you see a spa, you see, you know, a stress clinic. Right. They're everywhere. Right. And so when I took that trafficking tour and she, you know, they toured us around, I started to understand, like, this is a massive, massive problem and nobody is doing anything. Like, nobody's talking about it. This was 6 years ago. And so from there, I started doing ministry with them, and I started doing outreaches with them. So with Elijah Rising, they actually have an outreach team, and they have it, I believe it's like every so Fridays, something like that. But you can actually go out to the brothels and the cantinas in wow. Houston and actually go in there and outreach to the victims. So I used to do that. I used to do the cantinas. And that was a look, retrospectively now looking back, I was like, oh, that was, oh, hell, that was dangerous. Like,
what I was like, is that safe?
That was dangerous. No, like, seriously, like, the cartels, the coyotes, like, all those people are all within cantinas, and they traffic, Latinas from different Latin American countries, Mexico, Honduras, you know, all of Latin America, they'll traffic them to Houston. And so anyway, they'll traffic them to these cantinas. And so what I did with a group is we would go into these cantinas. We would say, you know, either we're with the church, we just want to pray over you guys or whatever. We would go in and hand, when we saw the victims, like we actually could illustrate a victim, like we saw it for ourselves. We would hand them a resource. And we basically told them, look, if you're ready to get out this life, you know, call the number on this resource and we'll send out a rescue team to come and get you whenever you feel like you're ready. And so actually interacting with the trafficked victims was the biggest eye opener to me, because some of these girls were afraid to speak. They had like scared look on their faces. They would avoid you. They would talk to you. And the moment that it changed it all for me, like if that wasn't already enough, was seeing, I think she was like 11 or 12 years old in a cantina, and she was sitting in a corner. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was a cantina. There was a bench at the very back, and there was where they would, I guess, choose the girls. And there was one girl I saw, and I saw her, and she was about 11, 12, maybe even younger years old. And seeing her, I was like, this is very real. And this is happening. And if I see it for myself, there's a bigger problem. So from there, I just, you know, I went into ministry more. I did some visitation to safe houses. Like there's another one in Houston that rehabilitates minors. So girls who were sold into trafficking, 9 years old, you know, 10, 8, younger, you can go mentor them, go visit them. So seeing all that comprised just set me ablaze for the activist component of anti-human trafficking. So all that in a nutshell, that's how I sort of started with my origins and opened my eyes to trafficking. I know that was a lot.
No, that's really good information. And I'm glad you talked about that. There's actually, so we're in Tampa, which is another hot spot I've heard, because anywhere there's a port, we get a lot through here, and we're from Miami, which we know that's a huge problem as well. And there is a place like that I've looked into. I mean, it's process, because they do the background checks, and it's like a process to get you into those places, because of course they're protecting these kids. But man, some of these stories, it's like what I learned was I didn't realize like how it happened. You know, like I would always think of like, okay, the little kids, it would make sense to me, because I'm like, oh, they're little kids, you could just take them. But then I was like, how does this happen to like a teenage girl, or how does this happen to an adult woman?
Yep.
And until I read this girl's story, and I was like, oh my gosh, they're literally using it's like a process. It could take a year sometimes, you know. Yeah. It's this process where you have this other child befriending the person, and this whole process a grooming process that can take up to a year even.
Yeah.
And then one day you're just, that's it. That's your day.
You're in it.
And I'm just like, I can't believe this. It's so crazy. So, wow. Thanks for sharing that. I'm definitely like, that's something that in the future, I definitely want to get involved when I have a little bit more time for my children.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's get into some of this, like, you know, social network stuff, because you've posted some really great videos on Instagram. The Adult Swim was probably one of the more disturbing ones we've seen, for sure.
Right.
What have you discovered as it relates to just, you know, how these pedophiles, how these people use these social networks, performance art, the media, you know, to traffic and exploit children, basically?
Like
how have you discovered how they use these platforms, you know, like the hashtags, like all these things?
Yeah. It's an iceberg. I'm still trying to discover, to be honest with you, because there's just so many ways that they do. I can tell you that these pedophiles, these predators are professionals at what they do. They definitely know how to talk to these kids that are on network. So if, you know, these apps and, you know, all these things, that it's literally like a catalog for them. That's why I know Wayfair is still kind of questionable, but I still kind of, there's some validity to, a cataloging of children and the way that works. There's so many ways that these pedophiles utilize, just the internet in general, algorithms. Like recently, if you guys haven't seen the Mouthy Buddha video him.
He's the one who did the Pizzagate, right? That's the guy.
No, he does. It's in relation to Pizzagate, but he did a very great breakdown of how there is an algorithm within Google, or maybe it was, because maybe they took it down, but there was a way for you to search
Yandex.
And Yandex and all these things. And if you searched a particular keyword, I think it was BH, then the algorithm would automatically show you, all these, and even if it was in child pornography, it was like girls doing gymnastics and girls trying things on and, a chiropractor, practicing his chiropractic work on a young girl. It's so sick, because they will literally look for anything. And so they utilize these platforms as a cataloging system. I saw recently, there was just some recent Instagram accounts that actually go out and they find these pedophile Instagram accounts, and they want, it's hard, because what they want to do as a collective is the idea is to, they find it and they want a bunch of people to go report it so they can take it down. Recently, which is why I produced Pedogram. Instagram has no forefront way to combat pedophilia, and they have no forefront way to report pedophiles.
It's shocking. I know. I was watching that video earlier today, and I was like, I can't believe that there's no direct way to quickly take something like that down. Like, you can report the nudity, but it has nothing to do with the kids. Like, hate
speech. Yeah. You can report hate speech and they'll take you down in an instant. But when it comes to pedophilia, you can't report anything. So going back to your question, they do, these pedophile networks work in codes, and they're ever changing. It's like a virus. You can't cure it. It just changes.
Right.
And so, for instance, if you look up right now on Instagram, DLG, Daddy's Little Girl, or DLG.
Yeah, I saw that one. Right? Yeah.
If you, a bunch if of you stuff. Search for that, you'll see a bunch of these profiles that role play being kids and having sexual relations with adults. And from there, you can just branch off and see who follows these accounts. And if you click through the public ones, you'll see that they have these tendencies towards kids.
Yeah.
It's sick. So it's like, you know, I don't even know how to approach that problem, but yeah, they work in codes that just change. It just changes. So it's hard to nail down like what exactly they do, but they're definitely working in some form of network communication with each other.
And what was so shocking was that you said how people were reporting the pages and it was coming back null, and they were not taking the pages down when I had a page easily taken down not too long ago that was trying to, like, it was like a hate speech thing. They were trying to be us and it got taken down within 24 hours. But somehow you can't, well, whatever. They can, of course, they can fact check our COVID
right
in 2 seconds and take it down. But somehow same you thing can't with Wayfair. Remove. And then, and somehow you can't remove child pornography. Okay.
Right.
None of it makes sense. Yeah.
I mentioned this in one of my videos. One thing that I would do, like I'm pretty keen on technology and like tech stuff. You know, in my career, like I've been part of like a lot of data analytics and analysts and all that stuff. So, you know, in my little bit of knowledge of that stuff, what I can say is if I owned a platform like Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, one of my key, like I would use that for good. Like if I could build some sort of database, like, hey, you know, if John Doe is a pedophile and all these people have been reporting him for pedophilia, wouldn't you want to flag John Doe, and you have his data and you have all these things, to build a database and work with the FBI or work with these combatants, right? So that should already tell you that this is not at the forefront of their ideologies, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And it's sad because this is the way we communicate. This is our Sprint and our AT&T. This is a communication tool. But they aren't taking pedophilia and child trafficking seriously, because that would be one of the forefront things that you would see. That should be one direct option where it says, you know, do you suspect pedophilia or child trafficking or harm to a child? That should be its own category.
Its own category.
Its own category, and they don't have it. You got to go through a form. You have to go through a help center, and it deters people away from reporting anything because it's such a lengthy and arduous. It's a lengthy and laborious process to, you know, report somebody. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's a built-in, built-in obstacle. You know,
it's a built-in obstacle, right?
Absolutely.
It's like, oh, it's not worth it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Pizzagate, you know, because like the typical person walking around in the world is probably used to seeing like these conspiracy theories pop up, you know, and then the establishment comes in, they provide a nice little explanation wrapped up in a bow. They accept it.
They give you a Wikipedia.
And when Pizzagate came out,
they're like, it's debunked. It's fine.
Oh, okay. It's done. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, Pizzagate came out and I was like, I never looked into it deeply because of how quickly they crushed it. You know, I was like, oh, okay, that's that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You didn't believe me at first, remember?
Yeah.
Even in quarantine. I was like, we got to watch this Pizzagate. He's like, it's been... I'm like...
I'm very skeptical, which is good.
Which is good. It's good. Yeah.
It is.
But, you know, like, so in the last 3 years, we've seen, like, so much troubling evidence. We've seen way too many coincidences. Like, I like this this example here, like the human trafficking arrests. Like, we saw in 2010, there were 300. And the highest it got in the Obama years was 1952, 1,952 in 2016. But then in 2017 to 2019, it jumped to 3,200, then 5,987, and last year, 6,154. Obviously, you've gone into detail over and over with these, but what would you say to someone who just dismisses it? And how do you think Pizzagate fits into everything else that we're seeing right now?
Yeah. Yeah. Those statistics are accurate. And, you know, if trafficking is happening, if people are luring, and people are luring children by the second, why would anybody not think that children are not transactional? And if they are transactional, why, you know, why would there not be a network? It's a business.
And why would you not use the internet?
Right. Like, right. And it's a business, it's a network. So with that being said, child trafficking is 100%, it's happening. Now waking up to Pizzagate, that one is a little bit more understandable for, you know, especially for skeptics who just woke up. For me personally, when I first heard about Pizzagate, I think it was like back in 2016. When I first heard about it, I was like, a lot of this, like, why would these details corroborate with each other? Why would GQ name, what's his name? Alifantes. What was his
name? James Alifantes.
Oh, James Alifantes. Yeah.
Why would he be a powerful person? One of the most powerful.
He's just a pizza owner.
Right. Why would he be so powerful? I think it's like when you face them, and maybe, you know what, maybe you guys are giving me some inspirational energy here, because maybe we need to compile a list of like just some logical questions. Like,
yeah,
why would he be one of the most powerful people in Washington? And, you know, they are flaunting this in your face. Like, yeah. He's powerful. Why would, if Tony Podesta has no children, why does he have children's toys and child related paintings of, disturbing paintings?
Yeah, disturbing paintings, right?
Yeah. I mean, if we go down these questions that are pretty logical, you know, I think that would be a start. And actually, you know, like I said, I think that's actually inspirational, because I think with people who are very skeptical and you know, they're very logical and not conspiratorial at all. I think that would be a start, is to answer, you know, those questions. Why is it that the White House had $65,000 of hot dogs? You know, I don't care.
Yeah, right. At 10 o'clock at night, or a midnight or something.
In the middle of the night. Right.
Right. Like, if, you know, If I had a quinceañera and I was rich, like, you know, would you be buying hot dogs for $65,000? No, you buy steaks and stuff. You buy, yeah, like, you know, all these things. Steaks. So what, you know, why would you be flying in $65,000?
And you're breaking protocol, White House protocol, which is like, you gotta, like, they gotta only prepare it there, right? Like, there's like some protocol
exactly,
there.
Exactly. Exactly. So with those details that corroborate each other, why are we not questioning it? No matter what presidency it was, you know, if it was Trump's presidency, or if it was, you know, Bush's presidency, why would we not question that? That is a very large and weird detail. And the biggest thing too is Hillary Clinton, she never said that these emails were fake. She concluded that they actually existed. And she said that they were boring, and that, you know, Tony Podesta is, he's Greek. So, you know, maybe he was, you know, he was talking about cooking. When you read these emails in context, they're not talking about cooking. They're talking in code.
They're talking in code.
Absolutely.
Someone left a handkerchief with a map or something like that. I think it's pizza related.
Yeah. is that the way government officials talk to each other? Like, you know, and if so, come out and declassify your code words. If you're talking about an operation,
right,
if you're talking about something to cover your own ass, come out and tell us, like, oh, okay, you know, that we were talking about, you know, whatever. But they haven't, and that is the most suspicious thing, is, you know, on top of all these other details that are illustrating in itself, Tony Podesta's home, GQ naming a pizza store owner, the most, you know,
powerful, yeah,
powerful top 50, person,
top 40 something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the people in charge of the country are literally talking about breaking protocols within the White House for food items, in which they're talking about it in code. We need to question it. Yes. And so that's why Pizzagate is so big, and why people are questioning a lot of this stuff. So that's what I would say to people who are just waking up and very skeptical and not conspiratorial at all. Just ask yourself these very logical questions. Why is it you know, why is it that these details exist? And why is it that nobody has said that they were fake? Hillary Clinton didn't say they were fake. Tony Podesta didn't. And in fact, they get quite enraged when you talk about it.
Yeah.
Why is it?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Well, now, I mean, hopefully, like, stuff is starting to come out. And so hopefully it continues to unravel, really. And so, right. You know, we start here with the arrest of, what is her name?
It's Ghislaine. I was saying Ghislaine, but now they're saying it's Ghislaine. So
Ghislaine Maxwell. Let's say Ghislaine. Ghislaine Maxwell. Everybody knows who she is now. Well, yeah. You know, this woman was, you know, instrumental in recruiting, grooming, and even taking an active role in, you know, abusing probably thousands of minors. These women had their youth and their dignity taken from them. You know, they'll never be the same. And yet so many people are still blind to this. How would someone attempt to, I guess, red pill, you know, a friend or family member when it comes to this kind of stuff?
Where
should we start?
Yeah, I mean, I think first it would be the testimonies of survivors. I think them giving very detailed accounts of what happened to them,
yeah.
And again, corroborating those stories together. You know, if Jane Doe 1, 2, and 3 have stories that are very personal and different, you know, within their experience, but then you put them together and they both paint, or they all of them paint the same sort of illustration of trafficking and the horrors, you know, that are byproduct to trafficking. I think when you hear it first account from them, that's where you start to believe, like, okay, they're talking about the same exact things at different times in different settings, but yeah. they're all painting this picture. I think that's actually missing in our you know, our media world is actually giving a voice to these people. And I'm actually starting to do that with the Daily Traffic, which is another platform that I own. I'm encouraging these survivors to come out and talk about your story. Like, you talk about their story. One person, I need to reach out, but she even said, like, I'm living with my abuser right now, like, and all these things. And I'm like, these things are literally happening as we are breathing, as we are talking. So I think for somebody who is skeptical about all this stuff, I think, you know, that needs to happen a bit more, where we actually listen to the victims and the survivors and actually hear their accounts for what had happened to them. Just in general, I mean, there will always be a demand for sex. You know, there's always going to be a demand out there for, you know, men going out to procure girls, or, you know, victims in general for this. And, you know, if there are multiple accounts of people saying that this is happening, not just with Galen, let's say Seville. What is his name? I always forget the first name of these people. I know their last names, but something Seville in England. He was a BBC jockey, like this VJ, DJ, whatever. And in the 60s, he abused lots of kids, and you know, boys included. A lot of these people have accounts. It's so bad, and it has plagued our society. I think when we hear the victims speak, I think that will really do big impacts within our society. And I think that has to happen a lot more often. I think corroboration in stories will really open people's eyes to a lot of this stuff.
I agree.
It happens. And I agree because I just thought of another one. Like, this is like one of the worst ones. It pisses me off so much because the guy, what's his name? I like block out his name because it's so bad what he did. The gymnastics guy, the USA Gymnastics.
Oh, the doctor.
You heard about him? The doctor from the USA Gymnastics. Yes. Mm-hmm. This man, literally over a period of like
20 to 30 years,
there was like 200 victim statements.
Raisa,
and those
what's
are the
name?
People that stepped forward, because the boys, you know, they never stepped forward. And there was a bunch of boys as well. Can you imagine your doctor, like your trusted doctor? This is someone who's hired by the U.S. like
U.S. Olympics
Association. Yeah. And then it's like you're using these people and these children who have this dream and this talent, and you're just using it against them. It's
yeah,
just
you know that you have to go for that physical.
Like, you have to go because your body's falling apart. Like, you're an Olympic gymnast. You have to compete, and like, you have to do this. And it was happening while we're all watching the the Fab Five, what was it, like that Olympics, yeah, it was happening during that. It's just,
and that was even, that was even pushed under the rug, like, you know, it was, we had her impact statements, Raisa, what's her name, the best one that we loved.
Oh, Ali Raisman.
Yeah, yeah, I said Raisa. Okay. All right. So now we're going to go back into like Wayfair Gate, Amazon Gate, Alibaba Gate, eBay Gate. Like there's so many.
So, you know, many.
And it's not a coincidence to us that, you know, this came to light literally a day after Maxwell's arrest. You know, like Wayfair Gate popped off. Like, I was super surprised that I was up until 3 a.m. on Friday night. And then you came out with the thing on Saturday morning or Saturday during the day. And like, tell me, like, well, first of all, it's literally a day after the arrest. So tell us what you found. And then kind of, if you can share any evidence where these people take victims, like the symbology, the references, the so many celebrities who know a lot more than this, like even the Howie Mandel thing was kind of like, bro, this guy's lost his mind.
He lost his mind. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, so starting off with like Wayfair Gate and, you know, all these other gates, e-commerce gate, really, because it's like,
yeah, exactly.
I think the biggest thing that is evident that there's something going on is the fact that, okay, like I get it, like a lot of these victims that came forward and they're like, look, I'm not missing, like, there, you know, so for those who don't know what Wayfair Gate is or, you know, what good this call. Is, last, what, Friday, there was a big viral thing that happened where Wayfair, there are citizen investigators who found postings on Wayfair that were very overpriced, and those overpriced items had the names of people, let's just say people, right? And so the original posters or the investigative, citizens would go out and look into the missing and exploited database, and they would find matches to missing people. And there were some that were very unique names like Samia or Kyla, you know, all these things. And so people would then go through all these postings and find very overpriced, you know, items on Wayfair. And it was like, create like a pillow for $10,000. And, you know, from there, people were just kind of like, it kind of spiraled into this big thing where people were just trying to find out, like, what is this? Like, if it's not trafficking, what is it? Is it just money laundering in general? Like, what are y'all doing? And so one of the biggest things for me that was evident that something is just like, something's still not right about this is, I had actual links to these Wayfair things, links. And I had, you can see it between my video on Wayfair Gate. I just had one video on Wayfair Gate. And then I did a podcast after that. And I went through those same, I still had the websites open on my browser.
I remember you were freaking out literally on air. You were like, yes. You guys, yes. No.
No, they took down. So if the issue Wayfair, so Wayfair came out and said, oh, it was a price glitch. Oops, you know, whatever. Okay, cool. So if there's a price glitch, just put the price to where it's supposed to be. Like, if it's only supposed to be $10 and, you know, you accidentally put a few more numbers in there. Yeah. Just change the price. And you should be able to do that very easily. It's done. Yeah. Change the price.
But the manufacturers didn't know about it either. That's the part that was like, wait a second, we didn't do that.
Yeah. So it's like, you guys have control over your user interface. You guys can go and change these things very easily. You guys have techies, you have data architects, you have software developers that work on your team. Y'all can easily put in a ticket and have that stuff easily corrected. But instead, what do? They take down the entire posting. Why? You know, why is that happening? So I think that's like one of the clearest things, clear as day for me, that something is going on, something. We don't quite know what, but something there is going on, whether it's they're trying to distract us or they're actually doing something, something there is going on. It was the same thing with Amazon. There was one singular pillow for $10,000-something. Why, you know, and why are all these weird ratings and comments happening on that post? Like, what is this that's happening? I don't know. Like, we're just truly witnessing, like you said, Twilight Zone in 2020. We still don't have answers, but definitely something seems to be going on.
Even the pictures, the display pictures, like the books that they choose to put. Yeah. And some of these things, yeah, some of these pictures are Photoshopped. So it's like, yeah, okay, why did you choose to Photoshop? I get it. You got a frame there that's an empty frame. You should put something in it.
Right.
It says friends on the bottom. And then why did you put Haitian friends?
Yeah.
And why did you put all these books that had titles related to like human trafficking and organ harvesting and all that other
stuff? Right. Yes. Come on now. And you know what? Weird. This actually, it's so funny that you say that, because this ties into one of your earlier questions. What kind of coding and networks do these pedophiles use in order, yeah, to procure and transact children? Because who's to say that that's even it, that you can just go on? Because I highly doubt that if this was, let's just say in theory, this was a trafficking front. In theory, if these pedophiles are utilizing Wayfair or these forefront sites to procure children or to transact children or, you know, victims, whatever you call them, if they're using it, they're not just going to say, go on this link and purchase it. No, there were other items. There were other things, components to this stuff. There are other elements. Like when you typed in a name, like for instance, there was an item that was like $48. You typed in a name, it surged it up to $10,000-something.
Wow.
There is something that they have to type, like there has to be like a coupon code or something, like a code that they have to apply to that purchase in order to receive the kid. Let's just say in theory, if this is what Wayfair was doing with their front, it's not just a go-to thing. It's not just like, oh, you know,
check out,
just go check out your card and stuff like that. I would imagine they would have to have a coupon code, and also, you know, within the books, let's say maybe there was a subliminal message or there was something that would let the pedophile or, you know, a procurer know like what to do or how to transact that. There's just so much, you know, there's just so much we don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like there's so much coding and there's so much networking within the pedophile network. We still just don't even know it. It's way bigger than we think. And I think, honestly, Wayfair Day is a look into the iceberg, because we're working, yeah, with an iceberg here. That's just the tip. I think
with all the online stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Because even when you were going back to like that original question with the, what was it?
BH kids.
Because I remember watching that, and it was like on one of these, like it was like a regular clothing or lingerie website.
Yeah, even the real website. Yeah.
It was a real website that you could actually purchase lingerie from. But then when you would type certain things, or
it would take you to the actual
KB Kids.
But you can't find it.
But you can't actually find it. Yeah, it's exactly, right, it's all coded in, which you can do this now with the internet. So
right.
It's like, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Sure. Yeah.
And with all the websites, yeah, it's yeah.
I mean, and could you imagine how many of these exist?
Oh,
you know,
I can't, the internet is
a universe. The
even
internet
just is looking today on Instagram. Like, because I was watching your thing and I was like, oh my gosh, DLB or whatever.
That is a boy.
I was like, I was just like, oh my gosh. I was like, look at all these pictures. And then the one with the kids, like the RP kids, I'm like there. And then it's like, I'm literally, I found a one that it was like a little boy and I recognized him from YouTube. I'm like, that's not his name.
That's our son's, one of our son's favorite. Titus, yeah. Yes. And yes, they named him a
They were
new
like, oh,
member.
This is our new member, River. And I was like, that's not River. I know that child. He's from my son's YouTube channel. So it's like, they just take any kid's picture. It's so crazy.
That's what I'm saying. These pedophiles, they don't even, like, it doesn't even have to be child pornography. You know, that's why now you can't have your kids, like, just freely on there, because they will literally take a picture of your kids and they'll share it. Like, they'll share a lot of different things, and they'll, you know, even Photoshop things, and it's sick. It's sick. You got it. So like, it's a sick world we live in.
It is. Yeah. Well, speaking of kids, this is something that obviously, like, we've always homeschooled even before quarantine. Now everybody homeschools, but you know, this is one of those things. And this is one of the reasons, you know, but how do you think our, you know, modern culture, and even some of the institutions that we are supposed to trust, you know, as it relates to children, how do they contribute to the grooming of our children? Because just our culture, it's so, like, I saw an ad on Cartoon Network the other day, an entire ad on Pride Week. I'm like, what?
That was Nickelodeon.
Or no, and on gender choice and all this stuff and all these testimonies. I'm like, these are children. I'm so confused. Yeah. How can they have a sexuality when they're kids?
It's absolutely sick. I mean, I'm glad that we, as for instance, the United States, where we withdrew from WHO, you know, the World Health Organization. I think that's even a starting point. You know, you can see a big idea of how they want to infiltrate the world with this sexuality. I also did a video called Sex Ed or Global Grooming, because literally UNESCO UNESCO and
UNICEF or no?
It might have been UNICEF. No, it wasn't UNICEF.
I know it was UNESCO.
Yeah, it was UNESCO. They have the Library of Education and all these things. But basically what the UN does is they have their own agencies, right? So it's UN, and then they have they umbrella or parent these little agencies. The WHO is one of them. And then WHO partners up with all these other agencies. So it's like, you know, their little networks. And one of the agencies that they partner with is the International Planned Parenthood Federation. And what they do, it's super, super sick, because they'll do many things to infiltrate the minds of young people all around the world. One in particular thing is they're going to, and here's the thing, why are they targeting Africans, the nations in Africa? Why are they doing this? They'll go to Africa and they'll tell HIV positive kids, go have sex. It's fine. You know, go. You don't even have to tell your partner that you have. What the hell kind of world do we live in where you're literally going to tell these kids, go have sex, and they are kids?
And we're going to teach you how to reveal it to your partner and what's the right time.
Absolutely asinine that this, like, that it should be criminal that they're going and they're feeding these ideas to disease children that could possibly kill off a lot more by spreading the disease, because they're so impressionable. They're thinking, oh, this health organization is here to aid us and give us basic necessities, sanitation, education, clothing, food, water. And they literally hold these countries hostage, and they dangle all this, you know, stuff like, you know, you want water, you want food. Well, in order to get it, you got to tell your kids, this is, you know, this is the idea. That's one way. I mean, that's just one way that they're doing it. They're going to these vulnerable countries. And it's not just, it's what's crazy. It's not just African nations. They're going to Latin America too. Yep. And they, for instance, in, I think it was Peru. They lobbied for the age of consent to be lowered to 16. For what?
And in the UK,
why waste time?
Someone in the UK, or it was either she was British, or it was like a European Union thing, and they tried to lower it to 14. And there's those talks about, like, you're having like psychology association, you know, meetings where they're saying, you know, pedophilia is a sexual preference.
No. Yeah,
right. Sexual preference. Right?
And they lump them all in with LGBTQ, whatever. And all my gay friends are like, hold up. Like, I like the same sex. I'm not with that part, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And they're I mean, if you go to NAMBLA.org, North American Man Boy
Love Association.
There you go. Yeah. I'm like, wait, I forget what these things. Literally there on the front page, it says Pride. And they're trying to infiltrate Pride. And, that's why I always call it, I tell my LGBT friends, like, look, if y'all don't associate, y'all better start speaking out, because they're definitely trying it. They're trying to infiltrate your organization. And if y'all don't stand with it, you have got to speak out. Because then you're, as if there isn't already a lot of criticism, because, you know, all these, education things. I need to bring this up too. These education things are also hitting the public libraries with the drag queen story hour. Why do we need to do that to kids though? Like, why do they need to know about sexuality?
Yeah, I remember you showed me that,
It makes no sense why they need to. They should be learning ancillary core value things like reading and how to pronounce things on these very level basic things. But that's how they're trying to infiltrate the system in so many different angles and perspectives, even down to the education. I think in Austin, there was one educator that spoke out, and she was basically like, look, they're trying to infiltrate our materials and trying to get us to, literally teach our classrooms all these things about, you know, sexuality and masturbation and, mm-hmm. you know, accepting people's identities and stuff like that. And it's like, that should not even be in the forefront of what they're trying to learn, right? They should be trying to learn how to spell, how to pronounce, how to, you know, identify colors and shapes and all these things.
Kid stuff.
Yeah, kid stuff. So why, that is a grooming process. Like for us to, for trying to enforce people to teach kids these ideologies, it's grooming them and opening them up for sexuality, which they should have no part in at any stage of their childhood, you know, and that should be up to the parents to, educate them on the birds and the bees and, you know, all these things, but they're taking control and they're taking it pretty fast. Yeah. One thing I also wanted to add was there are also other things like the beauty community. And this is something that I want to start speaking out a lot more on, because the beauty community is, they are embracing this whole, like, you know, let trans kids be trans kids, like let them put makeup on and stuff like that. And look, you know, when I was little, like, yeah, I would put on makeup, try on my mom's makeup, you know, I would, you know, experiment with that. But to full on, but that was like in private, and that was like, I would wipe it off at the end of the day. My mom didn't let me wear makeup until maybe I was a teenager. But to have this public life where you are embracing these kids to, you know, you even see it, they're putting on makeup and they're being sexual with their moves. And like,
sometimes we see parents, they're like, look at her go. And I'm just like, no,
y'all need to pump the brakes. Like, so bringing it back to the beauty community, we're clapping for this and we're saying, yeah, like go, go, go. And it's like, y'all have no idea what you're trying to perpetuate, because you know, when you tell a kid like, yeah, you know, kudos and all these brownie points for, you know, starting your own account and being an 8-year-old, you know, male makeup artist, it's like, yeah, but y'all don't see that these predators, like pedophiles, are actually, they're enjoying this stuff. Yeah. Like they're enjoying mm-hmm. all these things. And then on the other hand, you're opening it up for all these other little kids to think that this is okay. And this is life. And, you know, you're supposed to be online, you know, making all these sexual moves and, you know, all these sensual things. Like, the beauty community needs to really put a halt to that and really call it out for what it is when we see it, not embrace and say like, oh, yeah, that's just who they are. No, that's embrace. That's also perpetuating this idea of sexuality on kids too. So, you know, and people say like, it's not that deep, it's just makeup and stuff. It's like, no, it's a pathway.
It is a pathway.
Yeah.
And didn't you talk about also as it regards to makeup? I think it was you, because I've been watching a lot of your videos, but
I was telling her for like,
it's
like
not just the kids,
a lot of months, but she was deep in like the sermons too. Like, so I got it there.
But so the kids is one angle, but then also it's like, why does it always have to be like super demonic too? Like all the makeup, it's always like all this, like,
yeah, all the
dark
imagery.
Everything is like dark and like,
it's absolutely, and it's just Satan himself, you know.
He's not
creative. He will use anything, and anything that's beautiful, like art and you know, truth, he twists it and he makes it demented. But you know, for the past few years, when you saw this Instagram culture, beauty influencers and beauty gurus, you know, that was actually the height of, or that was a climax of Instagram for the past few years, is, you know, worshiping these beauty gurus. And you know, I enjoy tutorials and stuff like that, but there was for a long time, there was a big culture of, you know, them being the celebrities, our type of celebrities. But a lot of times, like, I would see a lot of these beauty influencers, it's such a strange thing. Like, they were just like straight up like satanic themed influencers. And it wasn't like a video, like just a VFX thing. It wasn't just like a Halloween thing. It was like, they would literally like entire, like, you know, this satanic themed artistry. And it was just such a strange thing to see. But it's also hitting fashion too. You see a lot of these pentagrams and Baphomets being sold as graphic tees, and you know, it's just time to speak out. I mean, it's like, you know, you see it, and then you see it infiltrating our culture too, like, you know, promiscuity. promiscuity is like a big thing that these meme accounts are like promoting. Yeah. And it's like, no, that's gross. Like, don't be promoting, like, you know, having these appointments with people. Like, it's just a big cultural problem. We're enabling a lot, and we just need to speak out. And that's basically why I started speaking out against it.
Well, I'll say something. I'm 39 years old. You know, I'm old. And like, even when I was in fifth grade and I came home, I went to public school until I lost my public school privileges.
What a thug.
A little bit of a problem person. But
a problem.
Yeah.
What a delinquent.
I came home when I was in fifth grade and I told my mom, I said, Mom, next year I will be sexually active. Yeah. Like, that's what I learned.
That's what he learned at
school.
I was like,
check this out.
Did you know? And
it's just like, I want people to understand, because I think people know, like, when we put things out there, like, we're not prudes. Like, we've been everywhere you think. Like, we've been, me and her have been in the darkest places. Yes. We have dark backgrounds. Like, we've been there. But like, and we had the conversation with my son when he was 8.
Well, that's the average age. You know that. The average age that little boys are exposed to pornography, because it finds them now. It finds them now.
And we had that conversation. We want people to understand, like, we're not trying to shelter them from it, but we want to be the trusted source. Like, I don't have to be looking for it anymore. Oh, you
right.
don't?
Yeah.
We're
not saying
example.
Not to acknowledge it, because that's what Christians get accused of, because I know in the past a lot of them have been, like, sheltering their kids.
Right.
And then these kids are, they don't have any knowledge, and they freak out when they have some freedom. That's not what we're saying. Mm-hmm. We're just saying, let us be the ones to do it, and don't ram it down their throats when they're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old.
Yeah,
exactly. Because there's an agenda attached to that, you know, that the reason why they want to do it so early is because there's a grooming process that is attached and embedded in all of that stuff that they're trying to teach your kids. And the same thing, like, with me, like, you know, I know when people hear me speak, they're like, you're so prude. And it's like, it's not like that, because I'm actually not a prude. You know, I wasn't saved all my life. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Same.
I wasn't saved all my life.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Jesus has a lot of grace on me. That's what I will say.
Same girl.
So, you know, it's really truly not that we're being prude. There's just a lot attached to sex that people do not understand. There's a spiritual side to sex that people do not understand. And I think that's another train of knowledge that, you know, needs to be talked about too. Like, yeah, sex in the world, like, that's one thing. And that, you know, like I said earlier, there's never going to be there's never going to be a fulfillment demand of sex. People are always going to go out and look for it. That's why we have trafficking. That's why people transact and procure humans for that very thing. But there's also a spiritual side to sex that it's not really talked about a lot, and maybe it needs to be talked about more, but there's attachments. There's a lot of, you know, dark sides to it. And I think that also needs to be talked about to the youth, because the moment that you engage in that, you know, you're opening yourself up to a lot of dark spiritual things. And that's something that I, you know, I had to realize, is there is a lot more to this world than what we see. And that scripture is so living out right now. We're not dealing with flesh, but spiritual principalities of this world. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we just know, I think, like, as Christians, as converted Christians, we just know that there is a lot more to it. And, you know, it's not that we're prude. It's not that we're, you know, we're these pilgrims or anything like that. We just know that there's a lot more to it. And, you know, people should go down that route too. Not just the worldly stuff, but understand the spiritual side to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to do ourselves any favors. Like, if we didn't want people to think we were prudes, this is going to only make it worse. What I'm about to say, because, like, we, in January, we did this, like, secular music fast where we didn't listen to anything secular, and it was, like, life-changing. And then the same thing happened with this whole process, is, like, we'll never look at Hollywood, you know, the music industry, celebrities. We'll never look at them in general. We'll never look at them the same. It's like, now I'm always like, what are you trying to say right now? Yeah. What are you trying?
Right.
You know?
Because it's like, once your eyes are open, there's no going back. Really.
Exactly. And you see it. I mean, it just creeps in. It creeps in, like,
everything,
I'm a 90s kid. I didn't grow up in and see all these, you know, I didn't see all these agendas, you know, I didn't see all these things, but literally it creeps in. Like I saw the, when was it? I don't know. It was a time recent, but I saw at Ellen DeGeneres. There was a segment that she had with Kate. What is her name? Something Bell.
Kristen Bell.
And she was doing a segment where she was talking with another actor to kids about sex. And it was like, they talk about being sex positive. Like, where do all these things come from? Yeah, like sex is it,
the
positive.
Terminology.
All of it.
All like it. And it's crazy. Literally, they're trying to infiltrate and not even hide it anymore. They're trying to
come out
and normalize all this stuff. So yeah, it's like, you don't view it anymore. Like now you have like a new set of goggles and you can kind of sniff out their agenda when you see it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think we covered as much as we could in the time that we had.
I know, we could be here all day.
You have anything else? I mean, I guess you can ask her this, the last one is important.
Well, yeah, we can ask that too, but anything else that you wanted to touch on? I mean, anything else that you want our listeners to know?
Yes, there's a lot of
stuff. I know, there's so much. It's like such a loaded question.
Like you said, we could go on all day about this topic. Right? Yes, but just know, you know, keep your eyes open, keep your kids close. Know what they're doing on the internet. You know, a lot of these pedophiles are more intense. So now that we have these lockdowns and what seems to be, we keep having these lockdowns even more. They're online, they're procuring, you know, they're doing a lot online. So just know who they're talking to, look, watch their apps, and just stay equipped and stay vigilant on all these things, because it's definitely happening. To keep yourself more informed of like all the trafficking that's happening. I do have another platform called The Daily Traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Where I post trafficking news, like as I see it. So, just stay informed and be vigilant. That's all I can end with, because there's a lot more we could go into, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And so you said The Daily Traffic, and where else? We know you have YouTube. Where else can people find you online? And we'll put all of this stuff in the show notes for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you
you can't search for her. We can tell you how to find her.
I'm shadow banned, but
we'll give you the code.
Yeah. Basically my handle is the same everywhere else. Natalie Denise at Natalie Denise. You can find me on YouTube, Natalie Denise as well. YouTube.com/Natalie Denise. And then The Daily Traffic is also one of my platforms. So that's YouTube.com/The Daily Traffic, and on Instagram handle The Daily Traffic. And that's traffic with the TRAFFICK. Okay. Like trafficking.
Yeah, like trafficking.
Traffic. Yeah. So that's where you can find me.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. By the way, everybody, I know you guys, we didn't do a keto episode, but we found out that Natalie eats
keto. Oh, by the way, she's keto, in case you didn't already.
So her brain is working well. So now you got to trust her. Her brain works well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't say I don't cheat or whatever, I take keto for the most part.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, thank you so much. Seriously, I really appreciated it. It was everything we asked for. Hopefully people, you know, our audience gets this thing and they're like, what the heck is on the Fat Fuel Family podcast today?
Yeah, and hopefully at least it plants, you know, I say, you know, our efforts are never in vain. If anything, we plant seeds. Maybe people might brush it off now, but,
right,
you know,
right.
God will have the last final words. And that's where it's like, we have to trust, because it is a crazy world we're living in.
Absolutely.
And it's easy to
feel bad,
you know, and get sad about things.
I appreciate you guys breaking your routine to talk about this stuff. I just wanted to thank you guys a lot.
Our pleasure. Seriously, thank you.
And so you said you're in Houston. Well, we go to, well, usually
Austin's about what, 2 hours, 2.5 hours?
Well, whatever. We have to look forever. Or if you're ever in Florida, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
We got to get together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll keep in touch. I'll shoot you guys my phone number after this.
Perfect. So will we.
Awesome.
Thanks, Natalie.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great day and be blessed.
You too.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Hey guys, we're going to take a minute right now to tell you about one of our amazing sponsors, Santa Cruz Medicinals. Santa Cruz Medicinals is a company that we've been using for years now. They make high potency, high quality, lab tested CBD formulas at an affordable price. They offer ketogenic, paleo, gluten free, sugar free, lab tested formulas.
You all may remember when we did our cannabis series last year. One of the things we learned with CBD is that the research is pretty clear on dosage. 5 to 20 grams per kilogram is what you should be taking per day, And most of the quote-unquote CBD you see online and on Amazon is severely underdosed. Most of these products are offering dosages that are so low, you'd have to down a bottle a day. That's why we love Santa Cruz Medicinals, because they offer highly dosed, potent CBD with clean ingredients, and they have several cool products, but we want to share our favorites with you. So what are your favorites, my love?
All of them? No, really. I have yet to try a product from them that I don't love. However, I will talk about some of my ride or die products. So during my cycle, I get horrible migraines, guys. And my go-to is definitely their peppermint tincture or the 10,000 milligrams to get a potent anti-inflammatory dose. Peppermint has been shown in studies to relieve migraine pain. But let's talk about the pain salve real quick, because this I use for almost everything. And everyone in this household agrees we cannot live without it. So the CBD pain salve, it has clean ingredients that you can trust, but it also has peppermint, which really, really helps. And so what I like to do is I'll rub some on my temples, and it really provides instant relief for me when I have bad headaches. But of course, I'll use it as well for any muscle pain that I have.
Well, I'm personally a huge fan of the 10,000 milligram bottles of CBD in MCT oil. I put it in my coffee, and then again at night, I'll put some more in, like some broth or whatever drink I'm drinking, a hot tea, to get an adequate dose for the day. I also love the pain salve, especially when I'm extra sore. We usually take turns massaging it onto each other, and it always does the job. You guys also have to try the new CBD infused hemp and collagen protein. If you're a fan of horchata, you will love this one.
Oh, that one is so good, guys. We just tried it and it is so good. So yeah, if you're interested, check them out. You can find them at scmedicinals.com. And of course, don't forget to use the code FatFueledMom at checkout to save 15% on your order and get free shipping, guys.
Something peculiar about this generation here. Everywhere we look around, we see a word for fear. I can feel it in the breeze, I feel you drawing near. Outpouring of your spirit, yes, revival's here. The earth is longing for the rightful king to take his throne. Oh, how we're longing for the day that you take us home. Take your throne. Jesus, take your throne.
My wrong, so I cannot leave. Yeah, I see it all, that's how you found me. You left the 99 to find me. Your love is deep, it's about to drown me. Your grip is strong, so I cannot leave. Yeah, I see it all, that's how you found me. How you found me.